Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
All right, Genesis 37, and I wanted to go to Romans 7. Matter of fact, that's what I had studied for tonight. This morning, after devotions at the sheriff's office, I went and met Brother Jonathan Ritchie, and we had breakfast together and fellowshiped a while, and he asked me, he said, "What are you preaching on tonight?" And I said, "Romans chapter number 7, that which I do, that which I would do, I do not, and that which I do, I allow not," and those things in Romans 7, and I had all intentions on it, and today reading, I come through this passage, and I've got some things written down. I went back and pulled some things from an older outline too, and I want to give you a little thought, and here's what I want to do tonight. I want to look at the life of Jacob and the life of Joseph for just a minute, the two, and compare the two lives for just a minute tonight. Look, if you found your place, Genesis 37, look with me in verse 31. I'll let you remain seated. "And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood." Now, for sake of time, this is his brothers. They're jealous of him. They're upset with him because Jacob loved Joseph so much. So they take him and they take his coat of many colors from him. The Bible goes on to say in verse 32, "And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, 'This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no.' And he knew it and said, 'It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces.' And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, 'For I will go down into the grave unto my son's mourning.' Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and a captain of the guard." You that knows your Bible knows that they take Joseph and they sell him into slavery. They sell him into bondage. They come back, pretty much tell their dad a lie because of their jealousy towards Joseph. And they think Joseph sold off, and the dad thinks that Joseph is dead. Now, I want you to note something with me. There's something stuck out. Look in verse 35. "And all his sons and all of his daughters rose up to comfort him." Look what the Bible said. "But he refused to be comforted." He refused. They was trying to help him. Now, I know they've done wrong. I don't know if his sisters know that he's done wrong. I don't know if his sisters know the whole story, but I know this. They're trying to comfort their dad, and he refused to be comforted. And I want to talk to you about this thought for just a minute tonight. Dealing with the hurt of being hurt. Dealing with the hurt of being hurt. He refused to be comforted. Father, you know the need of the service tonight. And Lord, why you've brought me here on a Wednesday night, I'm not sure. But I'm going to try my best to give the people, Lord, what you've given me in studying. Lord, I pray that we would get an understanding from this. And I pray, God, that at the end tonight, that it just wouldn't be a bunch of words. But God, I pray, Lord, that you would ordain them. Lord, that you would bring our thoughts together. And God, that people would get help from you tonight. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I wrote this down today. It would be dumb to ask this question this evening. Have you ever been hurt or have you ever been done wrong? It would be dumb to ask that question tonight. You say, "Well, preacher, why would that be a dumb question to ask?" Because I would dare say every answer in here, for the majority, some of the younger kids may not understand it. But young adults on, I think that we could all say, "Yes, preacher, I have been hurt along the way. Yes, preacher, I have been done wrong along the way. That does happen. Maybe it would be better to ask this question tonight. How did you get over being done wrong? How did you move past being hurt? I thought about this tonight. Your hurt will turn into bitterness, or your hurt will turn into blessings. You will either, listen to this, cast off your hurt or cling to your hurt. One of the two things. You'll either cast it off or you'll cling to it. And can I say this tonight? Getting hurt is just part of life. Getting hurt's just part of life. People doing us wrong is just part of life. You say, preacher, they ought not do that. I agree 100% with you. But the truth of the matter is this. We've been done wrong and we have done others wrong at some point in time in our life. Why? Because we're all human. Everyone, and now if you'll say amen, we'll get done before Brother Elijah. Because every one of us are human. We've been done wrong, but we've done others wrong, and we can either cast off our hurt or we can cling to our hurt. If we cling to our hurt, it will become bitterness. If we'll cast it off, it can become blessings. The reason some people have never gotten over their hurt. Now listen to this great terminology here. Is Brother Jonathan, because they simply like to waller around in it. It's this tonight. It's self-pity. You see, when they can talk to others about their hurt, when they can say, well, you know, I'm just not going to give everything because I was done this way or I was done that way or this happened or that happened. What they're doing, they are wallowing around in that, and it's self-pity, and it brings attention from others to them. I remember Brother Jimbo Seaton was preaching at the youth rally at Brother Jeremy's. And he was talking about a situation that happened in his home. And he, in that illustration that night, he was talking about that. And there was another preacher began talking to him. And he kept talking to that preacher and talking to him. And that preacher stopped him. And he said this. He said, is the situation about your son or is it about you? You see, a lot of times we want to wallow around in our hurt because it brings attention to us. We've got two things we can do tonight with hurt. We can cast it off or we can cling to it. Hurt is real. I'm not minimizing the hurt of being hurt. I'm just simply saying we don't have to live in our hurt. We may have to live around it. We may be reminded of it, but we do not have to live in it. Here are a couple ways I wrote down today that hurt may inflict us. It can be inflicted by a family member, an unfaithful spouse, an abusive spouse, a wayward child, an abusive parent. It can be inflicted by a family member. It can be inflicted by a friend. It can be inflicted by sinners. It can be inflicted by quote-unquote saints. It can even be inflicted by yourself. It can also be inflicted by a sovereign God. I'm in our reading, and you kids, I was talking to somebody the other day, I said, I got to quit calling them kids. But you young adults, it's doing that reading plan with me, knows that we've got a little bit of Job in there already. And boy, as I was reading through some of that, I wrote down in the flyleaf of my Bible, I bought a Bible that I'm journaling in as I go through it, and I said, I really don't understand why it happened this way. Man, look at Job's life. I don't understand why Job's going through what he's going through. Sometimes the sovereign inflicts hurt into our life. It's not that we've done anything wrong. It's not that we're wayward. It's not that we're out of God's will. It's not that we're living contrary to the Word of God. Sometimes God just allows hurt to come in our life. Hurt can keep saved people out of church, and hurt can keep sinners out of heaven if they don't learn to deal with it spiritually. Listen to this. I read this. You ought to write it down. Hurt will cause you to live in the past. And when you live in the past, you pass up the present and mess up the future. Let me say it to you again. Hurt will cause you to live in the past. And when you live in the past, you pass up the present and mess up the future. Sometimes times heal, but sometimes time festers. Sometimes it causes us to fester on that. So how are we going to move on, and how are we going to get over the hurt of being hurt? I want to look at Jacob, and then I want to look at Joseph in closing. And let's compare the two that was hurt and see how they reacted to it. When you think about it tonight, I would say it this way. Jacob clings to his hurt, but Joseph cast his hurt off. Jacob clings to it, but Joseph cast it off. Go with me, Genesis 37. Look again in verse number 35. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture tonight. The Bible said this, and then all of his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. He refused to be comforted. You ever tried to help somebody? Brother Brian, you ever tried to, legitimately, you wasn't trying to get no gain to yourself. You was just trying to help somebody. And ended up saying to Miss Tina, they ain't going to help themselves. I can't help them. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like, man, I'm doing everything I can do. I'm investing in them. I'm trying to help them. I'm trying to love them. But, boy, they just want to sit around and wallow in the past. And in doing that, they're missing the present and not living for the future. That's where Jacob's at. Let me show you a few things. While Jacob clings to grief over Joseph being missing, listen to me. He misses the joys of the lives of the other children and grandchildren that he has. Jacob decides that he is not going to get over his hurt. He will go to the grave mourning over his hurt. Let's go to Genesis 42. You don't have to turn. Let me read you some verses. If you want to go there, I'm picking up in verse 36. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which we, or in the way which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Listen to what he says in Genesis 45. Now I'm going to try to piece this together for you for the sake of time. He says this in verse number 24. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. The brothers has now went to Egypt. The brothers has now saw him. The brothers has now realized, hey, Joseph is alive, man. Joseph, the one that they said was dead, the one that they sold out to slavery, they come back and they report in, Joseph is yet alive and is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent carrying the spirit of Jacob, or carrying him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. Now watch this. I will go see him before I die. I'll go, you say, well, preacher, isn't that something? Well, think about it. Clinging to the hurt of the hurt of being hurt caused Jacob to believe bad about Joseph, which really wasn't true, and not believe the good news. When he was convinced that Joseph was alive, listen to this, when he was convinced that Joseph was alive, clinging to hurt caused Jacob to say, I will go see him before I die. He did not thank God for him being alive. He didn't say, hey, boys, the Lord sure has blessed us. The Lord sure has heard our prayers. I've been praying for this. Boy, I sure am thankful that my child is alive. You know what he said? He said, I'm going to go see him, then I'm going to die. Tell you what I sense in it. I sense bitterness in it. Nothing about thank you, Lord. He didn't thank the Lord that he was alive. He didn't rejoice that he would get to live together with him again. He simply said, I'm going to go see him, then I'm going to die. Genesis 46. Let me move on. It said in verse number 1, and Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifice unto God to his father Isaac. God spake unto Israel, which is Jacob, in the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of their father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan and came unto Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him. Here God meets with Jacob and instructs him to go on to Egypt and to see Joseph. He promises him to take a great nation or to make a great nation out of him and bring him up again. Jacob should have been shouting by now, but he is still clinging to his hurt. Look what he says in chapter 46, verse 29. Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck and a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. Can you believe that? Well, now just let me die that I saw you. Not, boy, thank you, Lord, that I saw you again. And man, now we're going to get to live together again. And now we're going to get to be in fellowship together again. And we're going to get to enjoy life together again. He said, no, I seen you, just let me die. And boy, as I read through that today, I thought, how many times does God even come to us and speak to us and say, I'm going to bless you. And then when he does, we just sit back and go, well, I'm just going to die. I'm just going to die. I'm just going to die. He is grieved over Joseph being missing now for all these years. And now when God brings them back together and Jacob takes one look at Joseph, he wants to die. This is what clinging to the hurt of your past will do. Listen to chapter 47 of Genesis. Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. He didn't say nothing about, boy, the Lord's been good to me. Man, God brought my family back together. Man, y'all looking at me like a calf looking at Newgate tonight. Didn't say one thing about that. You know what he said? My life's just been a bunch of evil, man. That's all it's been. Man, he's clinging to the hurt of the past, not realizing what God is doing right before him, right in his own presence. His son is the governor. Everything he needs is going to be taken care of. What's happening? He's clinging to the past and the hurt of it. No thanking and praising God, but whining and complaining about the rough time he had had in the past. The rough time he had had in the past. Genesis 47, verse 28. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, so the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. For 17 years, Jacob had all his children and grandchildren back together. They're living in a palace provided for them. All their provisions are supplied. And this should have been 17-year family reunion. Was it? No, because Jacob was clinging to the past hurt. When you cling, listen to me, when you cling to the hurt, you live in the past. When you live in the past, you pass up the present and miss out on the future. 17 years he got to live with Joseph. For 17, yes, his child was gone for a while, but God brought him back. For 17 years, he got to see what God was doing in his family. For 17 years, he got to live underneath the blessings of someone else and didn't have to worry about one thing, man. Pharaoh took care of it. Well, some people cling to the hurt of their past. That's what Jacob did. And then there's Joseph. What did Joseph do? Joseph cast off the hurt of his past. If any of the two had a right to be bitter, it was Joseph. If any of the two had a right to say, I'm just going to die, it was Joseph. I wish I had 2 hours to preach on Joseph, but I don't. Think about this. Joseph had suffered enough wrong and hurt to have caused any normal person to become bitter. But Joseph found the key to turning bitterness into blessings. Joseph could have done like his father. Joseph was wronged and hurt in his parents' house in Genesis 37. Joseph was wronged and hurt in Potiphar's house in Genesis 37 and Genesis 39. And Joseph was wronged and hurt in the prison house in Genesis 39 and Genesis 41. Now Joseph is sitting in Pharaoh's house, though. I'll just say this to you. Your parents may hurt you. Your family may hurt you. Those that you become acquaintance with may hurt you. And those that you go through tough times with that says that I'll be there with you forever may hurt you. You say, how do you get that? It's a tough time over there in the prison house. Joseph met a couple that thought, man, they was going to stick with him through thick and thin. They was going to get him out of that mess. And what did they do? They went right the opposite direction when they got out and left him in the mess he was in. You can't depend on nobody else, but there is one that you can depend on when everything else is going south, and that's the good God of glory. So what does Joseph do? Joseph don't cling to his hurt. Joseph don't waller in his misery. Joseph don't walk around telling everybody about how bad everything is. No, Joseph goes to bragging on God. Watch this. The world would say, Joseph, now is your opportunity to get even with those who wronged you. His brothers, you that knows your Bible, it's Wednesday night, I hope you know this story. You that knows your Bible knows that Joseph ends up going back and becomes the governor, and his brothers come to him and stand before him. It's one of the greatest pictures of the judgment seat in the Old Testament that there is. Probably is the greatest picture of the judgment seat in the Old Testament. And they stand before him, and Joseph realizes who they are. They don't know who he is, but he knows who they are. And you know, all Joseph had to do was say, kill them and get them out of here. And he would have been just in doing that because of what they done to him. But Joseph didn't do that. Why? Because Joseph was not clinging to his hurt. Joseph had cast his hurt away. And Joseph says, I'll show them grace, man. I'll show them grace. Joseph, now is the opportunity to get even with those who wronged you. Joseph, your brothers are coming to get corn. Joseph, now is your chance to hurt those who have hurt you. What are you going to do now, Joseph? What are you going to do now? Now it's time to see what Joseph is going to do. Well, Joseph could have clinged to his hurt like his daddy did in Genesis 37. But you know what Joseph does? I don't have time to read all this to you. You know what Joseph does? Joseph gets married. And Joseph has children. You know what it's a sign of? It's a sign of a new beginning. Joseph says, you know what? I'm not going to sit around and waller of everything in my past. Whether I ever see them again or whether I don't. All I know is God has put me here, and I'm going to make the best out of the place that God's put me, and I'm going to live for Him. I just preach it real simple and say it that way. I'm not taking it out of context. I don't believe I am at all. Joseph says, man, it wasn't my doing that got me here, but this is where God's put me at. Can I give you some more Old Testament for such a time as this? I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to bloom where I'm planted. Here's what he does. He gets married, and he names his first son Manasseh in Genesis 41. You know what Manasseh means? God made me forget. God, if you'll get a hold of that tonight, God made me forget. You know, let me tell you the reason I can forget. Here's the reason, because there was a wedding July the 20th, 1994. I became the bride of Christ the day I got saved. And since then, I have someone living inside of me. If I live in my hurt and I wallow in my hurt and I become bitter over my circumstances, it's not God's fault. God has given me His Son. He's filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I can have the power of God to move on from that. Had Manasseh means God made me forget. Then Joseph has a second son. You that knows your Bible, you know he names him Ephraim. Whenever you study that out, it means this: God made me fruitful. God made me forget, and God made me fruitful. You know what God done in the life of Joseph? He done just that. God helped him forget about the hurt of the past, and then God made him fruitful the rest of his life. You and I will never be fruitful until we allow the Lord to cause us to forget our hurt. You may say, well, what about your brothers, Joseph? What about your brothers, those that sold you in slavery? What about your brothers? What are you going to do about them? Miss Daniel, you come start playing softly. Well, if I can conclude Genesis chapter number 50, you really need to read from chapter about 35 on through chapter number 50 to get everything God preached to you tonight. But if I can conclude chapter number 50, what about your brothers, Joseph? After the death of their father, Jacob, Joseph's brothers probably no doubt feared he will now seek revenge on the wrongs they committed against him years earlier. You see, no doubt, probably they was thinking the reason Joseph is being so kind to us is because of our daddy. It's all because of Jacob. But Jacob dies. Now what's Joseph going to do to him? They're living in Joseph's quote-unquote country now. Joseph's their ruler now. What's Joseph going to do to him? They send a message to Joseph, claiming Jacob, ask him to forgive them. Joseph responds with compassion, reassuring them that he bears no grudge. He reminds them that although they intended evil against him, go home and read your Bible, God meant it for good, to save many and to change many lives. Joseph continues to provide for his brothers and their families. The chapter then records Joseph's final days. He lives to see, listen to this, multiple generations of his descendants. Why? Here's the reason why. He chose to cast off his hurt instead of clinging to it. You may disagree with me. I'm not going to argue with you. I believe Jacob died bitter. I believe he died bitter. But Joseph, hey, if anybody's got a reason in Genesis to be bitter, it's Joseph. Anybody does. You ain't never been sold to slavery. You ain't never been forsaken like that. You say, well, my family, you ain't never been sold to slavery. Joseph says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to choose to love them. I'm going to choose to be kind to them. And I'm going to choose to allow God to help me forget this and for God to help me to be fruitful. I'll ask you this question in closing tonight. What are you going to do with your hurt? We're just going to wallow around in it and live in it the rest of our life. And in doing that, we miss everything that God's doing. You know, some people go to church, God moves in such a way, and they never get in on it because they're wallowing in the hurt of their past. They never get in on it. The power of God sweeps through. People get saved. Lives are changed. They walk in, sit down. They get up and walk out. All because they're living in a past hurt. When you live in the past hurt, you miss out on the present. You miss out on the present. You know what Jacob's missing out on? He's missing out 17 years watching his children together, watching his grandchildren, watching God work in his life. Why? Because he's living in the past hurt. You live in the past hurt, you miss out on the present, and you mess up the future. What are we going to do with it tonight? Are we going to cling to it, or are we going to cast it off? We're going to cling. I ain't letting go of it. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to get hurt. Did you hear what I just said? You're going to get hurt. And I'm going to get hurt. And what I choose to do with the help of God, I'm just not going to live in it, man. God's been too good. God's blessed me too much. I've seen God do too much in the light in the past years to doubt Him in the dark right now. He's been too good, Father.